Hey, after the podcast, make sure you hang around for a while. We got free drinks and appetizers and Brooks and Dunn. They're had a chance to talk to them. We got a new album out, Reboot 2. That is coming up after the podcast.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one. And that's how we get the podcast. The podcast. The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
It's like a little Taylor Swift ripoff a little bit.
That one's terrible.
You don't like that one? That,
we only have to hear it once, right?
Yeah, only once. Yeah.
Okay, good. You know what? They're not all going to be winners.
Like, yeah, it might roll back around like 60 or 70 episodes down the road, and you'll be like, oh, I remember that. And you might like it then. Because you know how sometimes you hate a song on an album, and then later you learn to love it.
You love it, and you feel guilty, a little dirty.
Yeah, a little bit, and you're like, oh, man, I used to hate on this song so much.
Speaking of feeling dirty, y'all, boy.
I don't know what that was.
Was that our gold?
Well, we actually, this is the first time ever we have two golds. But go ahead, and I just wanted to get that out there.
No, go ahead. You wanted to jump on that, so go ahead. Yeah, what is it? That was us shooting turkeys. Turkey shoot the other day.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Carson smoked us!
Yeah, she won.
Smoked us, those turkeys! No, go ahead.
I was going to say, our guy over here hating on Mike Tyson, Garrett, is like thinking Tyson's going to lose tonight. I'm like, dude.
I will put.
You're a
my
child. You don't know. You haven't seen the wars that we have. We watched it. We paid for it. The pay-per-views.
And what year was that?
1904. And we watched. It was the best. Having Mike Tyson fights.
Tyson made boxing a thing. People cared about boxing.
Wasn't it when we were kids that Mike Tyson knocked out a guy in like 3 seconds?
19 seconds.
Okay, and people were so mad because they...
I thought it was.
Yeah, I remember like my parents' friends getting so mad because they paid stupid money for a pay-per-view.
We had a collection. We literally had everybody pitched in, and we all got together at my house because we had like the best TV in the neighborhood, and we're like, everybody's there. We had the sound. We had the whole thing. 19 seconds. Done.
It's like throwing a party. I don't know. That's exactly whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say, I don't know anything about fighting. What I will say is I was looking at pictures from the weigh-in where I guess Tyson did something to the Paul kid.
He slapped him.
Okay. Tyson's thighs.
Oh, my goodness.
My Mike Tyson is the guy in The Hangover and the guy that, like, likes pigeons. So when I saw that, I was like,
"Me and Bubba, random birds."
Yeah, right. So that's all I really know of Mike Tyson. And then I saw that thigh, and I was like, "And this Paul kid looks big too, but
he's a big boy.
Jake put on some pounds, but that's like good pounds.
Tyson is." Whoa, I was not expecting that from a gentleman of his age.
Watch Tyson. His hands are so quick still. But watch when he punches, when he's like, if you ever watch him doing little things in the backs, he punches with his legs. Mm. He punches with his butt. And that's where his power comes from. Tyson will launch Jake Paul off of the canvas. Garrett, I'm calling it right now. Tyson is going to knock him out in the first round.
He's going to knock him out? I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to go the distance. They're just going to kind of dance around in the ring a little bit, maybe get a couple shots for the pictures. And I mean, they already made all the money. Like,
so do you think this is more of a, like, no, we don't get anyone hurt now. We've made the money.
They're not trying to kill this old man.
We're just shadow boxing, basically. Kill this old man.
What are we feeling sorry for? The guy is convicted of crime.
Did you not watch his little exhibition that he had with whoever that other retired guy was a few years ago? They both just looked slow, and
was an exhibition, though. That's different. This is a sanctioned.
You don't think
fight.
That they were trying hard? Still?
No, like, no, God, no, no.
Jake Paul is just gonna outlast him with his youthful endurance.
He will. That's why Tyson is gonna go. Okay, so Mike Tyson, you don't understand the Tyson we know. Mike Tyson, back when he was with Customato, his original trainer, was unbelievable. And I hope that Mike T takes those lessons from Cuss and does exactly what he was supposed to. Mike used to come out and just punch guys in the arms. They would put their arms up, and he would just punch them in their arms on purpose, because within a couple seconds of getting punched over and over and over in your shoulders like that,
you can't
hold your hands up, and then you're done.
Then you're over.
Man, I used to love watching Tyson fight, because the first like 10, 15 shots, he wasn't landing where you would think would be money shot things, but he was hurting people. And then as soon as he got that opening, it was done.
We should have a little bet between
the
five of us.
I'm in.
I don't care. So four of you?
The four of us.
Yeah,
I'm going to leave it to you, the gents in the room.
I just think that I hope I'm seeing a lot of it online of people like, oh my, I mean, even Vegas, the odds are Tyson is the underdog. Was it 2-1?
Because Vegas is smart.
I mean,
Tyson
are
is 60. He's and that what, makes me 57, go,
yeah,
like
that makes me kind of have a little pause, and then you hear Garrett over here. I'm trying to like.
We can do a little bit, but Bubba, if Mike Tyson actually knocks him out in the first round, which is not going to happen, but if that does happen, I will publicly embarrass myself.
No, I would. If he knocks him out in the first round, I would like a new painting.
Okay.
Oh, that's a nice. I like that. No, wait, I like your civilized betting.
No. Wait a minute.
And I'll sing a song for
you. Wait a minute.
Is Schaefer the dad here?
No, because like he wants a new painting, but like that could be very expensive in terms of Garrett's time. I mean, that's a heck of a bet.
I'll buy the canvas.
That's how positive I am.
Wow. Okay.
But if it doesn't happen, Bubba has to do something for you.
I was trying to
make you a painting. Yeah, that's it. We trade paintings.
Okay.
You're not gonna, it's painting.
Oh, dear.
Hey, Gary, you ever see those artists who like do, like they'll have like paintbrushes on a pendulum? Is that the word? Pendulum?
Yeah.
And then they just kind of like, they just throw it. Yeah, and it just randomly does that kind of stuff. You ever get into that?
No, to me, that kind of art feels uninspired and just kind of boring.
Yeah.
You know, you're not really doing any work.
It kind of seems shitty.
There's no emotion behind it.
There's no emotion. It just kind of looks cool.
It's not art. It's chaos.
Well, but art can be chaos.
It's not emotional chaos. That's
like
why people like Jackson Pollock, because of the freneticism of it.
I like things that look like it took a lot of skill.
Freneticism.
I don't even know if that's a word.
The freneticism.
What are you going to paint me, Bubba?
A Birmingham.
I knew it. Oh, I was going to get the joke out. You beat me.
I had to. I had to hurry up. I'm going to paint you like one of those French girls.
He's going to do a nude of me.
I'm sick that day.
I want you to lay on that sofa in Schaefer's office, and I will paint you like a French girl.
Hey,
and Garrett can hang that on his. No. Garrett can hang that on. He'll be great. He'd be sweating on your sofa.
No, I sleep there quite frequently. Don't do that.
I show up here, dude. It'll be 8 o'clock. I'll walk into the studio 8 p.m. I walk in and Schaefer's here. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I just woke up.
Yep.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
He doesn't like to deal with traffic, yeah, so he would rather sleep.
So I'll just nap.
Smart. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Remember when we thought we were going to be in flying cars by now?
Yeah.
No, we're not. And we're not really not. I know we have self-driving cars, but man, mainstream, that's 20 years away. At least.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that before. They're going to have to get all the older cars off the road. That's never going to happen. I mean, look, you have a 70 Chevelle.
Right. I mean,
and so that car, you can't.
Yeah, it can be retrofitted with. And I don't want it to be. Mm. I want it to smell. I want birds to die behind me from the exhaust. I want there to be a trail of just carnage because it's carbon and it is old school and it's carbureted.
Yeah, I don't see it within the next 20 years.
The other thing
is, by that time, when they do, it's going to have to start with the interstate highway system. That is the only way you can do it, because there's no way on rural roads and things like that you're going to keep the 70 Chevelles or the, you know, Model Ts off the roads or the old classic Corvettes or whatever. So they're going to have to do that on the interstate where you're not going to see a whole bunch of those cars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then it's kind of cool because all the cars are networked, talking to each other. And when somebody's merging, there's no merge issues because the cars slow down and, you know, allow it to merge.
You wait until one
in.
Of those things goes through a Windows upgrade at the same time, and it's going to be catastrophe.
Yeah. I mean, there's that.
I like that. I didn't realize how many cameras are on Teslas. I watch those videos where people are like, I don't know, why do people want a key for any car? But they like people will get caught because there's cameras all around it, and you know, they get busted.
You mentioned that when I was
even though no one's in it.
Mm-hmm. When I was out in Colorado recently, my sister has one of those high country GMC like $80,000 trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Cameras
all over,
everywhere, like 10 different cameras.
The
angles.
One that looks like it's above you,
right?
I don't know how they do
that. Yeah, I don't know how they do it, but there's cameras everywhere on that vehicle, especially if you have a towing package, and then you've mm-hmm. got it's
and
amazing.
How do they do that camera behind your boat? Have you seen that? I forget which.
I don't
truck
know how they do
that.
It. I know what you're talking about. I don't know how they do it.
That's so what do you mean?
It like, okay, so like if you're trying to trailer your boat and back it into things, there is a camera mode that shows you what's behind the boat.
Oh.
And even though the camera's in front of the boat?
Like from behind. Like you're seeing through the boat.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know. And like Land Rover has, they've got cameras for rock crawling. Underneath.
I've seen that.
Underneath. So if you're rock crawling, you know, you're trying to get around your rocks or miss a hole or whatever, you can see all of that.
That's wild.
It's so cool.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, that is a cheat code, man.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't see the electric stuff. I see it be staying around, but it's self-driving. I don't.
I'm gonna say the big one out loud. Fire. As the former firefighter here, dude, electric cars are great. I had one. I enjoyed it. It was wonderful. For practicality, lithium-ion batteries are not the greatest thing in the world, and there is a huge problem whenever they get on fire. You're not going to put it out because with fire, you need oxygen, fuel, and heat, and those three things create the fire. The difference with a battery deal is that it is a chemical, a thermobaric or thermo whatever reaction. I forget the word, but it'll burn underwater.
Wow.
So you're not going to put that battery out. That energy has to bleed off. So if you have a fire on a car battery, I mean, you saw the thing, the California interstate that was shut down for like 10 hours because a truck caught on fire. And it took like
an electric truck.
Uh-huh. It took like 9 or 10 fire trucks. So you have 9 or 10 fire crews that are out of service because of this one truck. They also had to, they were dropping water from an airplane so that the fire wouldn't get into the woods around them.
Wow.
So they were dousing. So you have all of this. That's for one truck.
They don't have like a foam that they can.
No, because again, you know, that battery is going to just burn. So all you can do is keep putting water on it. Like you're talking about on a typical car fire. Let's say you got your Tahoe. I could put your Tahoe out with 500 gallons of water pretty easily. But if it's an electric Tahoe, you're talking 100,000 gallons of water.
Wow.
You know, 50 to 100,000. It's crazy because all you're trying to do is keep it cool and keep the exposures down so you don't have more batteries pop off or things in the area catch fire. It's bad. And that's a problem because you have California mandating that everything goes electric. California's got a problem with their electric grid. They make that law, and then what, a couple weeks later, they say, okay, if you have an electric car, don't charge on Thursdays because too many people, they do that. And then you also have water rationing. So you've got a state that has power and water issues mandating cars.
And wildfire issues.
And wildfire issues mandating cars that go the opposite way. It is a recipe for disaster. Look, man, I don't care about politics in this situation. I'm talking about practicality. It's a bad idea. And we'll be back. That's the sound of the BB guns. We brought BB guns into the studio, and that was fun the other day.
Carson's first time shooting a BB gun.
It is.
Yeah. You know, that's what we grew up on as boys. Mm. What's a hmm for?
Oh, I'm just acknowledging what you're saying.
It was very passive-aggressive Connecticut.
Very top and coat.
You know
it's
why?
Very top and coat.
Because she won. Yeah. That's why she's all like hoity-toity here. She's.
How about, do you guys remember when you had a BB gun that could also use pellets?
Yeah. The one that you shot the other day.
Oh, that one you can shoot yesterday. Pellets with?
Yeah. I didn't remember. That one shoot, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Did you guys have airsoft guns?
I never. No. I went straight from BB guns to paintball to
gun guns.
Actually, I went BB guns to gun guns, then to paintball. If you really want to get technical,
do you do airsoft?
I mean, I had a crappy airsoft gun just to kind of shoot my friends and stuff. But
I like the there's several of them online on YouTube where they take it very serious, especially in Europe, and they have these old World War II battles. And they do all this stuff, and it's like
they redo
castles.
The Battle of the Bulge.
They go like under the in the tunnels and these old places that are still around, and they use them. And one guy is like a sniper, and he is so invisible. And he films everything, and he has a camera on his site, and he'll shoot guys, and like some guys like cheat, and they act like they didn't get hit, but they did get hit because they can't see anybody, and they just think it's not, and so he'll shoot them in the face after a while if they don't get out.
That's pretty cool. I was watching. Is this the guy that does like videos all the time where he does different camo techniques? Like he had this industrial tubing or whatever. And
no, not some guy.
It was like he pulled it up over him and just leaned up against the wall.
Disappears.
And he disappeared. And like it just looks like a piece of, industrial garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Or he, made like a tarp and put a bunch of garbage on it. And that was his hide. I mean, just all kinds of great, cool, interesting ways to, be invisible.
Yeah. Well, speaking of invisible, the UAP hearings came out this week, and hardly anyone even talked about it. And I don't blame them.
Because we've been down this road before. UAP, basically UFOs.
Yeah. I'm at the point where I need to see. You just got to show me something. I don't need to see Lou Elizondo, or I don't need to see whoever else that comes out and says, Lazar, whoever, and says, hey, I worked on a thing and there are things. Well, can you talk? Well, not in this meeting, man.
Show it to.
Okay. Yeah, well, then I don't believe you.
I don't believe it now. They're there to speak about it in Congress. And then when it goes to the proof, they say, I can't tell you in public.
So what are we doing? We did the exact same hearing that we did earlier in the year. No one said anything then either. We were like, oh, this is going to be it. No, it wasn't. And then this one, oh, this is going to be it. No, it wasn't.
I'm pretty much over it. I was one of the biggest believers.
Shoot, me too, man.
And I was all in. I was like, oh,
I'm still in. It won't take much to get us back in.
Yeah, a little proof. That's all.
How about
you guys
butt?
Just need a little nugget. That's all they need. They throw you a crumb. You guys are like, yep.
Yeah. We'll take it and make a cake out of it.
I think you have to have dogfight film cams. You've got to have like the gun camera footage where a United States Naval F-18 takes down one of these things.
It's not that grainy crap.
Yeah, it's got to be good
stuff.
Know,
like, my phone is better. So why are you trying to trick us and say, well, this is the best we could get? No,
here's
it's
an
not.
Infrared camera footage.
It's not
from
the best.
10 miles away.
Send you an old iPhone. It's
kind
fine.
Of, it's kind of the same way I feel with Sasquatch. I want to see Bigfoot. I believe in Bigfoot.
Did you see we're getting a Bigfoot emoji?
No.
Yeah, it's coming next year.
Did you see that the new iOS, Bubba? Because I'll talk to you because you're the only one cool like me. Oh, no, Garrett is.
Garrett.
We're going to be able to make our own emojis.
Ooh.
And you can do it. And you can do it with. And you can do it with AI. So you go, make me an emoji that looks like Bubba smoking a cigar, and it'll make it.
Done.
How about that?
Uh-huh.
You know what you do with, get dangerous.
You know what you do with that? You put that in your pipe, and you smoke it.
Wow.
That's been a week, and I got to roll.
Put that in your pipe and
like,
smoke
I can make an emoji of anything?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's exactly I'm where sure, they're headed, Garrett.
Yeah. I'm sure that it's not anything.
Mm.
Oh. Oh, yeah, probably not.
Yep, I know where this is headed.
They're going to have those. They're going to have those. The naughty ones are going to be not allowed.
Someone's going to end up on Bubba's profile.
Oh, Carson, you got to talk about the person. This guy sent her a message right before we started the podcast. She goes, look at this message I got from a guy.
It was on Instagram. Some dude in the, like, hey, requested messages. Hello, foxy lady. You're beautiful.
Foxy lady.
I like this guy.
Hold on, it gets better. Next message. Less makeup. I don't want to slide off when I kiss you.
Oh.
What?
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Like a backhanded compliment flirt.
Well, yeah,
that's not a flirt. A compliment. Oh, that is.
Flirt, no, but it's like, I want to kiss you, but.
But I, less makeup? I mean, I'm going to tell you right now what I want.
What is his name?
Schmuck? I don't know. Jerry.
Jerry. Mm-hmm. That is not the play, Jerry.
J or G.
Jerry, you're a dummy.
Jerry with a J. Here's the problem. The things I want to type back, I won't because I'm associated with y'all. But otherwise, this is where, like, feral me comes out.
Can I look at his profile? While just pull up his actual profile.
Pull up his Insta.
Oh, you screenshotted that.
Oh, I did.
It bugged you.
Well, it's I did it so we could talk about it.
It's like that girl that bugged me the other day. Are we dating the same guy app or whatever? She's like, you're on here.
Oh, he doesn't.
Oh, you have to follow him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. I was going to go and just pick on him for something.
Mm.
You just reply back.
I might.
Did I ever tell? I don't know if I've ever told the story of my first date. Post divorce, on the podcast,
the tongue kiss.
Oh yeah, okay.
yeah,
because I didn't want to hear that one again, so I stopped. Yeah.
Thank you. I didn't even want to hear him recapping it.
Like, I didn't want to hear that word.
It wasn't even a kiss.
Honestly.
It was sexual assault. I was sexually assaulted. Mm-hmm. Me too.
Could have filed charges.
I could have. I should have. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I didn't know what happened until it was over.
It's like one of those like cow tongues. You know, have you seen those?
Oh, gosh.
That's big. They can put like up their nose.
Like a giraffe tongue.
Those things are sweet. It's all meaty.
Big D and Bubba. Random birds.
That's actually Mike Tyson, by the way.
I love the little laugh he did.
The laugh's great. The laugh itself.
I remember that interview. It was like it was for some kind of charity thing he was doing.
It was Customato's. He did a book or whatever about Customato, his old trainer.
And we got on the show. We were like, hey, what's up, Mike? Or champ, or whatever you say. You're supposed to say to people. Either. And he's like, hey. And then we're like, Well, you have a new book out, and the book is about this and such.
Then he was good. For about 2.5 minutes, he was good and a solid interview.
And then he just kind of faded out, and we get stuff like this.
Big D and Bubba, Brandon Birds.
And we were just like, I was just staring at my microphone, like, oh, wow.
Did he just say it's raining birds?
What a weird... That's Mike. I'm talking to Mike Tyson, and he just said the most bizarre thing.
16-year-old Big D would have been freaking out.
Oh, yeah. 16, that's...
18, 19,
15? 15. 20-something?
Oh. Well, anybody. Even 30-year-old Big D would have been like, what?
Yeah, I mean, even now, that's crazy. But I think he is going to win tonight. I think he's going to knock out this guy.
Jake Paul. First round.
And
watch it happen. He's going to lift him off of out of his shoes.
Oh, it's going to be like a video game.
Launch him
like Punch Out?
Like Punch Out.
Yep.
He's going to be Glass Joe. Mike Tyson against Glass Joe.
Oh, that meme's been around all week.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
But they're the same people.
The same people.
I've been off social media. It's been kind of great.
Oh, no
good
kidding.
Good for you.
It's been awesome. Remember King Hippo?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. King Hippo was my favorite because you hit him in his pants kind of would go down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His shorts are about that. Soda Popinski.
Oh, yes. Man, if you think about it, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out was racist as could be. All of the different characters.
It was very, yes.
Everything was a little racist jab at whatever the person was. Well, you got
you're not wrong. I mean, it definitely played into ethnic stereotypes. You're not wrong.
But you know what?
No one cared.
No one cares.
No one cared.
And no one still cares.
People got the jokes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have, yeah, exactly.
It was also 1986. It was a...
But again, oh yeah, it was a different time because we had a sense of humor. That was the different time. That was the difference. We could take a joke. I watched some comedian the other day. He said something and somebody said, that offends me. And he goes, okay. Well, I mean, aren't you going to apologize? He goes, no, be offended. You don't have the right to an apology. You don't have the right to sit there and leave. If you don't like something, leave. I was like, yes, go on, brother. Preach. Be offended.
Yep, it's true. That is true.
People offend me every day. And you know what? I don't tell them. I just live my life.
We look at your calves. We offend you every day.
All right, anything else?
I don't know what that means.
I don't know anything about
okay, me and Bubba just stare at each other.
Jerry, stop talking to girls about their makeup. That's offensive. Just dumb. What a terrible play.
I know, right?
All right. We're done. Mike Tyson in the first round. Knockout. Watch it.
Big D and Bubba. Brandon Bird.
What's our out? What's the out jingle? Is it the
it's
different
always
one?
The same one? No, the outro is always the same. Yeah. The intro's always, yeah.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah, yeah,
this
I do too.
I love this one.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Brandon
Bird.
Big D and Bubba Weekly
Big
Podcast.
Ah, yes.
Brandon Bird.
Big day today. Reboot 2 is out. Brooks and Dunn. Hey, boys.
What's up, guys?
How y'all doing?
We're doing good, man. It's always nice to have you guys on.
We just been over here body surfing with the crowd, listening to some of these.
Oh, my gosh. I got to play a little clip for Reboot 2.
Pit. Yeah, we got Mosh Pit. Nobody wants to catch me. Stop it. Stop it. All right. Dude. So you got to tell us. Jeez, good Lord. It's so hot.
God. Okay. Back up and get
hammering the nail all the way into the concert.
So how did this album? So I hear there's rumors that you guys were like just like watching from the control room as artists would come in, like Megan Maroney, Hailstorm, mm-hmm. Jelly Roll, whoever, Lainey, and just kind of let them do their deal.
Yeah, I mean we were there to kind of add what little advice we could or help or just get out of the way.
Yeah,
Hailstorm's unique in this. I mean, a few days before, they had just sold out Wembley. I mean, they are huge and a really good rock band. You know, Dan Huff, our producer, who they brought their own band in, four-piece band. Lizzie Hale and her brother started the band, I think, 20 years ago. But, you know, Dan Huff's his whole history is he was a big-time rock guitar player in Los Angeles and all that before he started producing Keith Urban and everybody else in town. And you know, it's funny, when they kicked that off and they had figured that song out, they came in with that arrangement. And he just looked over at me and smiled and he went, damn, he goes, this is a really good band.
Yeah.
So, and they are serious rockers, but they're together.
Riff, uh-huh. And it was like all of a sudden the energy in the control room just went to 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody started hopping around. Like engineers even were like, suddenly they're standing up, like just turning buttons, twisting things. Like, oh, that's a little loud.
That's a little loud. Oh, the knob broke.
Turn it down. On here. That's okay.
Yeah, somebody hold the speakers up.
Supposed to be there.
Do you guys get, do you ever get amazed by how many people are fans of y'all that aren't even really in the genre of country music?
I'm like Ronnie. I don't know. It was fun to find out that those guys were really so into doing this, and that of all songs that they would pick that one. So it'll if we get reactions. If we get kickback reactions, that's the one I probably get a ton, just like from you guys. I mean, what's your take on stuff like that when you hear it?
You know, I hear it, and I think it's fun. I think it's exciting, and I think it brings new people. You know, that we all listen to more than just you know, the classics, more than just what's current, more than whatever. We listen to other genres of music as well. We all do. We all have those influences in our lives. My take is this. Anything to bring people to the country party is awesome.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree.
Exactly.
I agree.
Okay, we look out on the shows, like for the last 3 years, we're out and do it, and Kix will go, at one point he stopped, he said, hey, how many of you, this is your first show? And we'll go, crowds look a little younger than we're than we expected.
You haven't been here 30 years, have you?
Right. And he goes, well, how many of you, it's your first show? And 2/3 of the audience, I mean, the crowd will raise their hand.
Really?
Yes, fact.
It's amazing.
Every
right
single
now.
Time.
Really fun,
yeah.
too.
So it's a rebirth. I don't know. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, it's a chance for more new people to discover Brooks and Dunn. Reboot 2 is out. While you're listening to that, go back and look at the old stuff, too, and see where it all came from.
And this is a kind of a different take. It's having other artists. So it's like, you know, you like Ernest, you like Hardy, Morgan, or whoever.
Yeah.
And they kind of come in, and, you know, these guys are huge fans of y'all. You know, they cut their teeth on y'all, cut and playing your covers and bars and stuff. When Morgan came in, could you tell he was a little starstruck?
We kind of know Morgan. We've known him for a while.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's thrown a couple of chairs at us, too. But in a buddy way.
Right.
So we've lived with him through some of those things.
Yeah, all right.
He's a good, great guy.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think anybody – we had people that said, man, you know, we're complimentary, but I didn't feel anybody really being starstruck. It's one of the cool things about this group of artists. They've got their own confidence. They're doing their thing. They're pros. And a lot of them just came in with like what you're hearing, some really their own ideas, and they were really solid and put together, just like Marcus King, you know. They had already arranged Rock My World. He knew what he wanted to do with it and was singing it and playing guitar when he first stepped in the booth with his band. But some acts, you know, like Warren Zeiders, Ronnie's talked about, with, you know, kind of led him along with some ideas that he had. But he was curious, like, you know, what could we do with this that's different? Really looking for collaboration. Every artist was different.
It's really fun to see the younger artists come in, you know, like new. Like Warren said, he said, over COVID, I was sitting in my bedroom like throwing songs out to TikTok. And he said, next thing you know, I've got a record deal, and I'm doing concerts.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know, so she said, he just admittedly said, this is all, it's new to me, which it was new to us at one point, you know, 100 years ago. And you kind of get in there and work together. He was doing Brandy Man, and he kind of got hung up on the chorus and where to go. And one of the guys hit a chord that was just struck a Nirvana chord, or like nerve. And I said, dude, what if we take the verse just kind of to Nirvana, and the players are like, dude, we're already there. Push play, and away it went. So you'll have to hear it.
I love how there.
But it didn't steal anything from the original.
Yeah, I love how there are, you know, you have the different, like Hailstorm. It's, you know, going to be like a rocking kind of deal, and you get like Neon Moon with Morgan, and he kind of wanted
very traditional.
Yeah, kind of kept it from you know what it was, and I think
that was
it's
his choice. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
They had just moved it a little over into that cowboy cha-cha thing, and Brian Sutton, great acoustic guitar player, session player here in town, had a class. I think Joey mentioned, he goes, why don't you play a, you know, get a gut string, you know, classical guitar on that, and try, let's put a little, you know, Mexicali vibe on ahead of what we're doing there. So for people that, you know, aren't really staring at it too hard, it's like, well, this sounds a lot like the original, and it kind of does, but I think that cowboy cha-cha has happened on the dance floor for a long time with that song, so it's fun to see it kind of go all the way there.
So we're hoping, just in the back room, is this where we'll end up in Brooks and Dunn in Mexico City.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That would be great. Don't miss it one night only.
Make that happen for us?
Yeah. Well, we'd love to. Can we host
one of those big bullfight arenas?
Oh, dude. Yeah, listen, someone has to die. Someone's going to die. I'm sorry, but there's going to be a death tonight.
This is Reboot 2 and Gladiator 3.
Hey, you know, can we talk about this tour that you guys are doing, the Neon Moon tour? David Lee Murphy With you guys? Holy cow, are you kidding me?
One of our good buddies, writing partners. We got to town in a 79 together at the same time, working for Charlie Daniels way back then.
Wow.
And we've been on tour together, you know, when during the 90s, kind of in our heyday, and it's so much fun. We toured together last year, and it's still, he's one of our favorite people. And, man, he's, as you know, if you've seen him, he's great, too.
You know, David walks out there, and everything that he does, every song he does is a big hit, whether he did it in a solo deal or somebody else.
Yeah, and
massive hit.
Massive. Do you guys, when you think about, like country music and kind of that, you know, that honky-tonk kind of style, if you had to pick, they're like, okay, you're going to have one Brooks and Dunn song that epitomizes the honky-tonk vibe, what do you guys think it is?
I think Neon Moon's a good call. Neon Moon, My Maria, Boots, Scoot, and Boogie.
Yeah, but then there's some more kind of off-the-grid stuff, like honky-tonk. Okay.
Honky tonk anything.
Yeah, anything honky tonk, that's the same. There's about 100 of them.
Honky tonk truth.
I can remember this record executive like a while back. Because we're picking the next single, he goes, please just don't say honky tonk.
Stop saying that. It's like a tick. It's like a bad tick.
Rhythm and blues.
Redneck rhythm and blues.
Mm-hmm. Some of that stuff.
I love that feel, that sound, that vibe.
It's the best. Nothing like a little Brooks
play
and Dunn.
Country, you know.
There you go.
Danceable stuff.
Well, Reboot 2, it's out. Make sure you get it, Brooks and Dunn. And it's got Hardy, Ernest, Morgan, Cadillac 3, who I love, Riley Green, Laney, everyone's on it. You need to be listening to it. Lend them your ears. Good to see you, boys.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you, fellas.
Well, I'll see you on the road.
Brooks and Dunn.
All right, y'all try and behave.
Always good to visit.
All right, see ya. Bye.
Hey, thanks. Bye.